We're here for you on a baseball card strategy show. Welcome, everybody. I'm Paul Hickey with NoOffseason.com with Lefty McKee, our baseball expert at NoOffseason.com. And he's with Just Breaks as well. Good morning, everybody. Brian Steeler 714 is already in the house. He's been waiting for a baseball card strategy show. And we're here as your Bowman brothers, ready to bring it to you. So thanks, my man. Lefty, how you doing?
I'm good. Feel a little bit under the weather this morning, but I'm excited to talk about baseball. So
awesome. Oh, My Shoes is also in the house. He had some family baseball stuff, I believe. But we're going to get into some baseball cards. We're going to have a power-packed show, as always. We're going to talk about some prospecting updates, some baseball card ranking updates that Lefty's been working on at NoOffseason.com. So he's going to give you the highlights, the things you need to know now. And then by the time this episode airs on Apple and Spotify, we will probably have the baseball card rankings updated pretty much. We've been updating the player profiles, but we need to reshift around how they're ranked at NoOffseason.com. So check that out. Good morning, Evan Bell. Before we get to the updates that Lefty has with the baseball card rankings at NoOffseason.com, the re-rank, the April re-rank after the kickoff of the season, we've got a couple audience questions. So I'm going to jump right now into the first audience question. And it's regarding a Shohei Ohtani card. I'm going to show it here in a second, but it's from Craig at Craig's Cards. He was wondering if we could talk a little bit about this on the show. He was at a card show in Evansville last Saturday, and he was setting up, and the guy setting up next to him, he asked if he had any Ohtanis. And so the guy next to him handed him a Heritage throwback card with an $1,100 price tag. Craig was shocked, could not believe that a Heritage throwback would be worth that much. It looked so basic. But he looked on eBay, and there was one listed for $5,995 and another one listed with surface issues, quote unquote, for $1,500. So I did a little bit of research into this card, and Lefty, you can add in here if you want. But this is the card that Craig's talking about, and I did some research on it, and it is a photo variation. So basically, these are pretty rare, apparently. And on 130 point, there are a couple of sales of this of a photo variation of Ohtani for $875, $1,100. These are different photo variations than the one that Craig has, but there's one for $1,025. And then here's the listing that Craig's talking about for $5,999. Basically, when you search, the name of the card is this throwback uniform variation, super short print City Connect. And so from a sold listing standpoint, a lot of players have this photo variation City Connect. And depending on the player, you're going to get, you know, the sales price. Wilson Contreras has one that just sold recently for $156. These typically sell for around $100. Trout had one that sold, best offer accepted, that's at $2,000. Who knows how much that actually sold for? I didn't see it on the 130 point. But Lefty, basically, you know, I think this, as many listings are, this is way high. I don't know if the $1,100 price point at a show makes more sense to you, but what do you know about these? Because Topps Heritage is not like an investable, typically like an investable product, right? But yeah, what do you know real quick about these photo variations?
So this photo variation, that the one we're talking about, is the super, super short print. The short print is the other one of him running, which is the one you've seen him, this one that's sold. So this is a legitimate investment. For somebody that particularly understands super short prints and is looking for, particularly, this would be highly investable for somebody who is a set completer. This is not a kind of investment that I would personally get into because of our age-old saying of you have to convince somebody of the worth of the product. You know, like a kid could literally pick up this card and just say, wow, Shohei, I love that guy. You know, like, and it just, you run off, you know, like, and then all of a sudden you have a $5,000 card that has bent corners and everything because he's showing it to his friends at school. You know, like, this is a kind of card that, like, it doesn't stick out as valuable. Thus, I'm probably not interested because of all the other aspects to it. Now, super sweet card. I mean, I think there's so many cool cards out there, man. Like, there's so many cards that have a print run so low. But personally, it's heritage. It's not chrome. Like, it's just not going to fall in an investment for me. Although I do believe Shohei is one of the best investments in the hobby.
Yeah, well said. And it is 2022 also, so it's not even anywhere near his prospect year or his rookie year of 2018. So
I think that card probably sells for around $1,500 to $2,000.
Yeah.
So the $1,100 would probably be good for me.
Love the point you made about, like, not wanting to have to convince somebody. Again, you know, you make that point a lot, and I echo it a lot, but I don't think we can make it enough. It's like the fact that Craig, who set up at a show, and if you're setting up at a show, you know a lot about sports cards. You've sold sports cards before, so you're familiar with this kind of thing. The fact that Craig had the question kind of makes your point even more relevant, right? Like, this is a card that does not look really at first glance any different than any other card. So I know a lot of people in our audience are probably diehard baseball card heads and really know about this card and, you know, respect. And to Lefty's point, it is an investable card. But in terms of, like, most of the people in our audience, we would say stay away from this just because it's not going to really fit what you're trying to do or what we're trying to get you to do. Yeah. But great question by Craig.
Yeah, this is one of those cards that you just opened a product that's retail and then you pop a card that's like a lot of money and you immediately put it on eBay. You know, that's the kind of thing it is.
Yeah. Yep. So another question came in about active projected Hall of Famers. And good morning to Chad Gill in the comments. Chad is part of our family here at Noah. Well, you're all part of our family at nooffseason.com. Everybody listening, watching.
Dr. Crack.
But Chad is on the show and he'll be back on Monday. My just quick note, tomorrow's sports card strategy show and tell, I'm going to show I cracked 40 slabs yesterday.
Wow.
I felt like Dexter. I had like the plastic out protecting all of my stuff. That's from getting funny. Plastic pieces all over it.
Did you wear glasses?
I wore glasses. Yep, I wore glasses. So, I highly recommend wearing glasses when you're cracking slabs. You don't want plastic in the eye. Shards flying everywhere.
The only time, like the ones that I've done, shards have hit my glasses. And I was like, wow, glad I was wearing these.
I forgot to wear glasses one time and got a little, almost like pretty close shard in the eye. And I was like, never again will I not wear glasses. So anyway, more on that to come. But up next, we had another great audience question about active projected Hall of Famers. So this could be like a whole 2 hour long discussion, and we're going to try to condense it to like 2 minutes. But Yardbarker put out this article not too long ago, and they updated it this week, actually. And it's got Trout, Cabrera, and then three pitchers, Verlander, Scherzer, and Kershaw, as the top five projected Hall of Famers that are active. It's got 20 more guys from Nolan Arenado, Shohei. I'm not going to read all of them, but Bryce Harper, Mookie. You've got Acuna is number 25. Aaron Judge is on here. Soto. A lot of young guys. I mean, there's guys that, you know, Vlad. Like, we talk about some of these guys as potentially being that good. But I mean, a lot's going to have to happen. I think the top five guys are probably worth talking about today, Lefty. And then if there's anybody else on this list that you want to call out, please feel free as an investment. A lot of times we talk about Bowman and prospecting. So this is different. We're going to get into Bowman and prospecting here in a second. Don't worry, Brian Steeler 714. That's coming. But this question I wanted to take real quick from the audience. So, Lefty, let's start with Trout. Like, you've invested in him. What's your take, I guess, overall on this question? And then like, where are you at on Trout right now in terms of how he falls into this picture?
Well, I think Trout could end his career today and he would make the Hall of Fame. So I don't think it's like, so I think their argument is, yes, he is in, he will be a Hall of Famer because of just the sheer accolades that he was able to produce early on in his career. I think he's extremely investable as well because of the dip in his market last year. I think that the Angels are going to surprise some people. They're surprising me personally early in the season. And I think the Rangers and the Angels will compete for that wild card spot. I think the Astros will end up winning this division, but the Angels and the Seattle Mariners and the Rangers are all good teams. So this division will go down pretty competitive, I believe. And if they all stay healthy, Trout has a good chance of making a playoff appearance for him. And I think Mike Trout has to be number one on this list. In terms of an investing profile, I don't like Miggy Cabrera. I think he is a Hall of Famer, but at the same time, like, his market is just low. Like, people just don't really like investing in his cards. His early cards are not autographed, which I think hurts him. He falls into that category of right before investable cards really started coming out. And so, I mean, his cards from 2000, that's 11 years before Trout's Trout's Bowman cards are coming out. So dude's a pro. I have to give him a ton of respect. Not a guy I'm investing in. The next three guys are pitchers. I think all these guys potentially you could sprinkle investments on. I mean, Kershaw last night broke two or passed number 22 on the list for strikeouts all time and got his he passed a marker for wins. I think 200 wins last night. Nolan Arenado, I love, and I think that they've disrespected Shohei by putting him 7 on this list.
Okay. So you're high on Shohei.
I think the one guy that I'm saying from an investment standpoint that is just the hobby just doesn't know who he is really is number 21, Jose Ramirez. Dude is a baller. He's an absolute baller and probably will go down in the Hall of Fame, especially because his career will go deep into his age. Like, he's just a guy that'll play deep. And he's a guy that nobody's investing in. And so I could see Jose Ramirez being probably the biggest gainer or one of the biggest gainers on this list. So that's one that I would be interested in sprinkling on if you're looking at this list. So just because he has probably the lowest profile on the list.
Interesting. I love that. This question came in from Howard Silvermintz, who is a loyal nooffseason.com subscriber, audience member. He reads all the time, all of our stuff. If you want to get a year free premium, email me at paul@nooffseason.com. You can check out what Howard's checking out. But we wanted to get that one in for you, Howard. So thanks for all of your support. Lefty likes Jose Ramirez as a super sleeper, but Shohei's the guy. I agree with that. I mean, I think this is one of those things where you look at a list of 25 guys, and if you're new to sports card investing, or even if you're not new and you just haven't really started consistently making profits yet, one of the reasons could be that you're spreading yourself too thin. And so when you look at a list of 25 guys, it's a great article from Yard Barker. But in terms of translating it over into sports card investing, I think you need to narrow it down to one or two. And Shohei is the guy for me on that entire list that I would be putting my money into. And then sprinkling in a sleeper, Lefty says Jose Ramirez. So thanks again for the question, Howard. All right, Kendall. Let's get into your stuff, man. You've been working hard, very hard, on the updating, not only the player profiles. We've got updated player profiles at nooffseason.com. So check those out. Updated the card data, all that stuff. But Lefty takes a lot of pride in the player rankings. And if you're watching live right now, they're not updated. So this is breaking news from Lefty McKee on shifting around. Basically, we're going to try to get from 1 to 100, according to Lefty. But today, we don't quite have 100. We've got a little bit over 70. And Lefty's going to take us through the updated player rankings at nooffseason.com. Take it away, brother.
Yeah, I think this is something that is important to me because I think you can look at it and know where your investments are on a list. Like, I would like to, when things are humming at our most optimal, I think this needs to be updated probably once a month, you know, because there's shifts and stuff all the time. And so I want to get to a point where I'm re-ranking this once a month because of, I want to be able to keep on top of this. But, and ideally my goal is to have top 100 because baseball is so deep, you know, like just like soccer, it's just so deep, you know, you've got players from all over the place and there's a lot of ways to make money. And so I want to keep on the top 100 investments, eventually, but there's just not really 100 guys that I'm willing to put on a list right now. And as prospects come in and new cards come in, there'll be guys. I want to give a couple of disclaimers. Number one being, this is our next 6 to 12 month cycle. Like, if we don't understand the framework, it doesn't make sense. Like, you won't understand why I put some guys ahead of other guys. So the next 6 to 12 month cycle profile rankings. So we're not talking about all time. That's why, you know, there's MLB guys that are further down on this list and somebody's going to get in their pissy pants because I put, you know, Ronald Acuna further down than some prospects that have never played. Ronald Acuna is probably not going to have a spike like some of those prospects will in the next 6 to 12 months. I'm talking about profit orientation in the 6 to 12 months. Some of my safest investments are further up the list, riskier, a little bit further down. Second, I added, as of last night, I had 11 new profiles of players that didn't previously have profiles. So obviously, those are going to take us some time to get updated. As of this morning, I added one more. So I have 12 investment profiles. I added number 56 on the list as well. So Paul, I don't know if you need to update the thing you're looking at, but I did add a 12th as well. And I think that's what I wanted to do. I think that's all I have to say other than, I think what I wanted to do is jump into the new guys that I've added to the list.
Good idea. Let's do it.
And then we'll just, I'll quickly run through some of them. And they're guys that we've talked about and guys that have re-entered the list. But I'll just go from the bottom. So, the guy I added this morning is Heston Kjerstad. He's knocking the cover off the ball from Arizona Fall League last year. Was a prospect that really fell out of grace for the Orioles. Because he was drafted in the first round and then immediately had an injury and was out for like a year and a half. Like he was potentially had some surgeries. I don't remember exactly what he was, but I know that he was out of baseball for a while. So people just forgot about him. Topps even had to make a card about him that was photoshopped. Like they couldn't even get a real card about him. So his first card is like this picture photoshopped onto a baseball field. So it's kind of a guy that, but he hit really well in the Arizona Fall League. I'm still interested in him. I still think he's a first round talent. So I put him in there. Eduardo Julian. We talked about him earlier this week. He's a twin guy that has just made his call up. I believe he will have investable cards in this 2023 Bowman set. There are four guys I added to this list that actually don't have cards out as of today, but as of April 26th, they will. So there are four guys I put on this list that will have cards in about a week and a half. So I went ahead and put them on the list. Eduardo Julian is one of those. He's a guy that's investable in this 2023 Bowman product. Carson Williams, Rays prospect. I love, very athletic. He's a guy that is deserves to be on the list. Obviously, Rays prospects in general just always pop off. So I like Carson Williams. He's a high A affiliate right now. He's struggling a little bit, but has a profile. Obviously, he's a round one pick as well. And the Rays know what they're doing in player development. Spencer Jones, this guy is going to fly up my list if he is able to do what he's expected to do. This is a guy that has the swing pattern of Shohei. I'm literally not even trying to exaggerate. He could be Shohei and Judge put together if he's able to do what he can do at the top level. He has one of the highest ceilings in the game. This guy is incredible. 6'6", 225 pounds. Obviously, that is a Aaron Judge type player. His swing pattern is delicious. Like, I mean, delicious. This guy has some of the highest ceiling that I've seen, and he has his first investable cards in Bowman 23 that comes out in 2 weeks. So definitely
a guy not in draft then.
No, he's not. This guy will come out in a week and a half, and he's my favorite investment in 2023 Bowman. So there it
is. Love
it.
Yankees prospect.
Yep. That guy's ranked pretty low for me because I'm like, I don't want to overhype him, but I'm like, that guy's going to quickly move up if he's able to do what I think he's going to do. Yeah, could be. Tyler Soderstrom, I added him. He's a catcher, first baseman guy for the Oakland Athletics. He's a masher, and the Oakland Athletics are going to give him a lot of run. His cards have been investable previously, but I re-added him onto this list as a prospect who has re-entered my profiles. He's really close to the major leagues, probably will get a call up this year, but he's a catcher slash other position guy, which we have added to the list previously, like guys like MJ Melendez, who's playing great in right field. We have Indy Rodriguez, who obviously we've talked about him at length, and then Ohapi as well. Josh Young, he's a guy that's probably going to compete for Rookie of the Year this year. He's had a good start from the Rangers playing third base. We've talked about him previously, but Josh Young is a guy that's re-entered our top investment list. He's playing really well. He's getting everyday starts in Rangers uniform. And the Rangers are hot right now. They're leading the West. And so I believe this team is going to compete for a playoff run, and Josh Young is going to be a big part of that. I mean, he's already got 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, and hitting almost, I think that says 266 or something. I can't read it.
Yeah, 286.
286. So, I mean, he's hitting really well. He's walking, and he's even getting some stolen bases. So, I like that. Elijah Green, he's a guy that obviously should be on this list because he was a top five draft pick in the last draft. He is from 2022 draft. He's probably one of the guys in 22 draft that is overpriced, but I think he still deserves to be on this list. Extremely athletic, and he is a player profile that deserves to be on the list at pick number 5 in a 2022 draft. Cabrian Hayes re-entering my list. Cabrian Hayes deserves to be re-entered. I totally disrespected Cabrian after heavily investing in him in 2020. His 2021 season was pretty rough, or 2022 season was pretty rough. Just didn't like what I saw from him early on in the Pirates season. We see that Cabrian that I previously invested in. I like what he's doing. I think he's going to be a cornerstone player for this Pirates team that is going to be young and up and coming, and he's going to be one of the guys that people invest in. I think he eventually starts winning some Golden Gloves and when Arenado is finally going to retire, which could be 15 years from now. But he's that kind of a player, and it's unfortunate he plays the same position as Nolan Arenado, because he would get a lot more respect if he, you know, being behind a Hall of Famer is just tough. Well, to be fair, so people understand, he does play for the Pirates. He's not immediately behind Nolan Arenado, but in the category of third baseman end of the year profiles, like winning, that's why I'm saying he's behind Arenado. Brooks Lee is another top 7 pick, I believe, in the last 2022. He is higher up on this list than Elijah Green, not because I think he's better than Elijah Green, but because I think he has his prices are lower right now. And so I think he has a higher run in terms of what he will be able to do for your portfolio. He's a guy that I'm probably most excited about in this draft. I think he's going to be the quickest mover to the major leagues, and he is able to hit at quite an electric stance. I mean, look, you got it, 314 right here. He's a guy that hits for power, and he's going to hit for average. He's going to be a hitter, and what we know about cards is hitters in our investable. Matt Mervis is a guy that's going to be in 2023. This guy I'm extremely excited about. He's a first baseman that hits nukes. I mean, he's a guy that the that we have been looking at it just breaks. Like Aram for the past probably year and a half has said, whenever Matt Mervis cards come out, we need to invest huge in him. He's a guy that's very, very projectable, can hit the ball a mile and a half, is going to be a staple in Wrigley. He's going to be we believe he's going to be the guy to take one of the guys that takes this Cubs team back to the future. It's super like sleeper for a long time. I mean, look at this round 39 in 2020 or 2016. This dude was way, way, way deep in the draft. Went to Duke, went to college with a bunch of guys that we like in terms of their projectables. Duke is an extremely talented college program. Matt Mervis is going to surprise a lot of people, and his 2023 cards will come out in Bowman as well. And then my last two that I have on the list re-entering are both Angels, and they are very high on this list because I like both of them a lot. Logan Ohapi, I have talked about him on the last episode of the Sports Card Strategy Show. He is entering on my profile in the top 15 players. That's how legit I think he is. And then right above him, I'm putting Zach Neto. Zach Neto played like 12 games at AA before they immediately promoted him to the majors. This guy went, I thought Brooks Lee was going to be the fastest mover in this 2022 draft, in this 2022 baseball draft. And Zach Neto flew past him and is now at the major leagues already. And he was the 13th overall pick from Campbell. Campbell's an extremely experienced and mature baseball program. And this guy flew up the Angels list. One, because the Angels stink. And because they needed a guy like Zach Neto at the major league level. But I asked Aram yesterday, I said, is this because Zach Neto is this good or because the Angels program is so bad? And he said, probably both. Because Zach Neto wouldn't have moved that fast in other teams, but he deserves to be at the major league level. At 22 years old, he's an advanced college hitter. We like that. He went from double A straight to the majors, so I think he is an investable product as well. Those are the 12 guys we added to our list. I tried to burn through that as fast as I could.
On fire. Lefty's on fire. This is already one of our best podcasts we've ever done, and we've done about 200 of them. So we're killing it right now. If you're listening on Apple and Spotify, spellings are available at youtube.com/Paul Hickey. I have shared my screen. And so every name that Lefty has thrown out there, Josh Jung, for example, J-U-N-G. Most of the spellings are pretty
Kjerstad is just a mess.
Yeah. The first one, Heston Kjerstad. It actually is spelled how you would think. H-E-S-T.
I don't even know if that's how it's pronounced because I say Kjerstad so I can remember.
So people can spell it correctly. K-J-E-R-S-T-A-D. I know I do this because our listeners will actually say, like, can you spell the names? Shout out to Ryan Fitz from Graybos who told me at Mint Collective. He's like, can you have Lefty spell the names? We're not going to spell all the names. Just
Ohapi might be the hardest
video. Go to nooffseason.com. Ohapi.
O-apostrophe H-O-P-P-E.
Yes. Cheers to Ziggy. All right. Chad had commented a couple times while you were going through your list. He just bought a Soderstrom first auto PSA 10 last night. Yeah, Chad's going to write up a little something for the website. Hey, Lefty, I got a couple questions for you. A lot of guys in 22 draft. Pretty cool. Zach Neto, Elijah Green. Some of these guys I've looked at, and you're right about Green. High prices. But, I mean, is that – but then I do a lot of research, and I write a lot of articles about, like, how prospects have – like, they go up. Like, they just go up. And when you pick the top guys, even if you're buying in at $500, $600, $700 for a card, it's going to go up to $8,000, $9,000, $1,100 in the year, like within the year. So Elijah Green, is he a guy that like that's going to happen with?
He's one of the guys that I'm probably, if I'm going to take those top seven or eight dudes or top 13, in case if you add Neto to the group, he's a guy that I'm least solid on, I guess, if that makes sense. He's the guy that I'm like, I don't know. And Tamar Johnson as well. Like they are highly, highly, highly athletic dudes that are in systems that could develop them. But it's just like, you're going to have to, The reason I have them on the list is because their cards are liquid. They're moving, and they're guys that are moving. The reason I have both of them lower than you probably would think because of their prices. Like, this isn't necessarily none of this is indicative about their pricing. For instance, like, we have, I'll just give you a little shout out. We have where is he at? We have Anthony Volpe at 64. His prices are high, but the reason why I have him so low is because I don't believe that there's a lot of margin from where his prices are and for going up. I actually think Volpe's going down. He's quickly going to probably be removed from this list in a month or two. Just because, like, he's, well, that's a different discussion, but, so there's guys on this list that I like, but there's just guys on this list that I don't think are, they're just riskier investments. And so I think the higher up the list, the more solid I think you would make money on an investment. Yeah. So Elijah Green at 43, I have him in here because he is athletic. He is that guy that could make that jump, but I think he's so far off right now. And he's so far off from the major leagues and he's so expensive. It's not something that I'm willing to super, super look at yet.
Okay. So there's a couple questions I have for you because I know our list pretty well and haven't updated the website yet, getting a sneak preview on this show of your updated list. And I'll give a couple spoiler alerts. Shohei's number one.
Yeah.
So just quick comment on that. He moved up from number seven to number one.
I really don't think there's I don't know if there's a better investment in sports cards than Shohei. I mean, like, I agree with everything. This guy is electric. He has the right kind of, like, he has marketable cards. Like, they are very commonly graded really well. Like, there is obviously short prints we've talked about. You can invest in marginal cards from, like, you don't just have to have his Bowman Chrome auto to be in to make money. I think Shohei can do a lot before his cards are going to drop. Like, he has to just probably implode or get like a massive injury for his cards to go down. And at that point, I'm even more invested in him, you know, if his cards were to go down. I think this guy is going to be one of the favorites to invest in the next 26 to 12 months, but also in the next 25 years. Like, I just don't see him going away ever. And I think his market is bigger than most people as well, because he's got an international market that is highly invested in his cards.
He is the formula and he's executing the formula too.
Yeah. I mean, he's literally done something that no one else has done at an elite level. He's hitting over 300. He was in the race for like the most bombs in the majors, and he has a sub one ERA. Like, so he's the best pitcher in the world and the best hitter in the world. Like, what?
Yeah.
And he's international and he's kind. You know, like, people love to root for him.
And there's been hype around him since 2021. Like, this is the third. I mean, there's been hype around him since like 2016. But I'm saying, like, you know, he had the Tommy John, right? And then he came back. And that's really when I mean, there's been consistent sort of love for him since 2021 is probably a better way to phrase it than the hype. Okay. Another familiar name, which I like. Wander Franco, number two. Comment on that.
There's two guys on this list. I'll throw Bobby Witt Jr. up here as well. Well, I think where's he at? Five?
He's eight.
Eight. So Bobby Witt Jr. and Wander Franco both fit the same profile to me. And it's because these are guys that fell out of grace in the card investment market. You know, they both had huge investments. Like, people were just going freaking crazy to buy both of these guys. And so whatever I say here is applicable for Bobby Witt Jr., but I'll focus on Wander Franco right now. The Rays are probably the best team in baseball right now, and they need an electric bat in their profile, and they need somebody that's like Aram said it best last week, and he said the Rays need a guy to be feared in their lineup, and Wander is going to be that guy. Like, Wander is the guy that needs to be feared in their lineup from a pitching standpoint. Wander is incredible. I think like a couple years ago, I was really low on him. And then when the card prices dropped, I was like, yeah, that's right. I'm right. But now I'm like, I think this dude is perennial. Like, I think he's going to be a really, really good player. And there's so many people that invested really big in his drop last year. I think there's so many cards that people are willing to get rid of at good prices. And I think that is why he's so high on the list for me. The Rays are probably going to win the East this year and going to make a deep playoff run. And I mean, I don't think it's out of the question for Wander to make some pretty significant end of the season awards list, like lists. I think he's going to do some incredible things, and I think he's going to do a lot of those things before the All-Star break. So I think we could invest in him now, and you could, similar to Shohei, like, I love what Chad just said. You could literally focus on only Ohtani cards and make a ton of money flipping. I think you could do the same thing with Wander Franco. He has a ton of cards, which is one thing I think that hurts him. It benefits Shohei, but I think it hurts Wander. I think the print run is the one thing that I'm a little bit scared of. But Wander's so freaking good. If you have the margin to do $1,500, go ahead and buy a Wander Franco Bowman Chrome Auto, because I think you can sell it for maybe $18,000 to $2,000 in a couple months.
Wander moved up 12 spots from 14 to 2. Ohtani moved up 6 spots from 7 to 1. Another interesting move up that I'll ask you to comment on is, well, real quick, Bobby Witt Jr., who you mentioned, did move up from 16 to 8. But the one I wanted to ask you about, Corbin Carroll moved up 11 spots from 18 to 7.
Yeah, this dude's probably going to win Rookie of the Year in the National League. He's an amazing hitter, and I think the Arizona Diamondbacks, you can just tell that this team is ready to compete. They are young. They're very, very young, and they're very, very electric. And a lot of top, they've been so bad for so long. They have depth all over the field. I mean, we know Jordan Lawler. We know Drew Jones. We know they even have guys like, they have, what's his name? Hold on just a second. Texas first baseman. Ivan Melendez is on their team. They drafted him in the second round last year, but he was a guy that was in the green room in the 2022 draft. So he's a guy that's going to advance really well too. They have guys all over the field that could be incredible. And then they get guys in the Varsho trade that are just also good. I think this team is destined for something great. And I think Corbin Carroll is an electric player. He's the fastest dude I've ever seen on a baseball field. And that's saying a lot. He's very, very projectable. I like him a lot. I think he'll win Rookie of the Year, which is why he has jumped up so high on our list.
All right, let's talk about a couple guys that have moved down. So cool. You mentioned him a couple weeks ago on the Sports Card Strategy Show. Christian Encarnacion Strand was number 8. He's now moved down to 51.
Yeah. The only reason that I still believe in Christian Encarnacion. The only reason that he's fallen like that is because I think he fits the kind of the Yordan profile of a guy that's going to mash but not do quite much other than that. And I think people, I'm just honestly, the thing I'm worried about most with CES is people are not going to give up very easily on Joey Votto in Cincinnati, and he's going to have to fill that role probably. And so it's like, I think it's a messy situation. I'm glad that you were able to get out of your CES when you could. It's a guy that I think you can still make money on. It's just, he's highly risky because of his profile versus who he's going to follow versus how the Reds love Joey Votto versus he could play DH. What could be like, I think he might struggle at the major league level. You know, he's going to get a lot of run, and he can prove me wrong, because this guy can do incredible things. I'm just a little less in on him than I used to be. And I think I think we ranked him too high earlier. And so I just had to correct where I think he's going to be.
Yeah. And you made me think of something. I think I want to clarify. So my CES cards, I bought at one at a card show and one at a card shop. And as a result of that, I was able to look at the card, hold it, determine if I wanted to grade it. I wanted to grade both of them. One got a 9, one got a 10. I thought the 9 should have been a 10 also, but graded them at PSA. bought them for relatively cheap, made money on them. I was able to save all the places that you're looking to try to save. So didn't necessarily have to pay sales tax, didn't have to pay shipping on eBay purchases, things like that. So I was able to basically squeeze by and make some money. And then I sold them in March or early April. And so that was always the plan. I think when you do that with any prospect, I venture to say any sports card, I'd wonder what the audience's take on that is on that comment. I think you're going to drastically improve your chances of getting profit or at least breaking even versus I think if you were to go buy, say, an Elijah Green or, you know, any of these other guys that we've talked about on this show, PSA 10 auto, right? On eBay or on MySlabs or wherever you get your cards. I think you're making more of a play in the player. I think you have to believe in the player enough. That's just one thing I've learned from doing this for a few years now is I think that the card shop, in-person transaction puts you in a position where you don't have to necessarily believe in the player as much. You can believe in the flip itself and the timing of it versus like going out and buying like a high end. Like I bought that O'Neill Cruz. You remember Lefty? I bought the O'Neill Cruz, like first prospect auto PSA 10. And the play was, okay, I bought it for $650. The most I could probably make on this is a couple hundred dollars and sold it for $850 right before the call up. But that's risky. You know, I think that's that you have to believe in the player. And I did that because that was Cruz.
Yeah, I think, that's a great way of saying it. There is sometimes where you have to believe in the player. And then sometimes when their prices are so high that I'm not willing to invest in their bum. Like I'm not going out. I don't have a saved eBay list for Encarnacion Strand.
Right, exactly. But and that's why I brought that up because I wasn't looking for him. I just happened
to saw it and you were like, wow,
see him and went, oh, we have him ranked number 8. Maybe that's an inch. And I think I probably texted you too, just to make sure
you did.
Okay. So another guy that dropped is Jeremy Pena, 13 from 13 down to 40.
I think I'm always weary of investing in Astros. A lot of people in the hobby don't like, it's almost like they've still been blackballed in the hobby a little bit. Which is why Yordan, I don't believe, gets his enough respect. Bregman doesn't get enough respect. Pena is incredible. I mean, but I think we saw his peak last year with him winning the World Series MVP. And it's just not going
to happen again.
Yeah, it's not going to get any better than that for him. I don't believe you're going to be able to make money, or at least that much, on Pena in the next 6 to 12 months. Plus, I think that he's kind of seen his spotlight. Like, he's now going to go stage left, and guys like Wander Franco or, you know, the young guys that are coming up, or Trey Turner, who isn't on this list but probably deserves to be, guys are going to be on this list ahead of him. And I think Pena is going to continue to fall down our rankings because I believe he's going to be a really solid everyday player, but not one that's like super investable, similar to that of like Elvis Andrews or something. Like, he's a guy that's played 25 years, but like, you don't ever hear anybody, maybe not 25 years, but that's an exaggeration, but you never hear anybody like super investing in Elvis Andrews, even though he's played for, you know, 20 years and been on World Series teams, you know? So it's like, I think that's the Pena profile.
I think the Pena move down is smart. And I think it's a perfect example of something that we probably all don't realize enough, which is even though a guy might be a big name and he might still be young and hot in several ways, and you could say this potentially about Soto and Acuna as well, they are now all in a situation where they have to do something spectacular to move the needle on their card value. You could even throw Vlad in that discussion.
Yep.
That's
why those three other is
different. Yeah.
That's why those three guys are further down on our list than you probably would think.
Yeah, and you're either gonna have to wait a long time, like Howard's question earlier in the show, till maybe they make the Hall of Fame, or But that falls under the category, I think, of doing something spectacular, because all those guys are still going to have to do a lot of spectacular stuff before they make it to the Hall of Fame. So I think it's a good point to kind of look at who falls in the category of like, yes, this is a great player, but it's going to be very hard to make money on their cards because they're not going to be cheap. And if they are cheap, it's for a reason. You see a lot of probably Acuna and Soto 2018, 2019 rookie cards, et cetera. And Vlad too, that are cheap, but they're not, and it might be liquid, but you're not going to make money off of them. So it's smart to single those guys out as sort of like not necessarily as investable and move the prospects up, because those guys definitely move the needle. Okay, so speaking of
prospects, Acuna would be higher on the list if we were talking about long-term investments.
Yeah.
Because okay. He'll be a Astro shortstop for, and he'll probably be able to win championships and stuff. Like, this Astros team isn't going away. But right now, with Jose Altuve being down, the Astros are kind of slumping. They just dealt, I mean, they got rid of Verlander this offseason. I mean, they just, there's going to be a time where this Astro season, or this Astro team, is going to not be who they've been over the past 10 years. And Peña is a guy that they moved on. They moved from Correa to him. So like, he's good. And I don't want to say he's not, but I'm not investing in him. And when I look at Twitter, this is another thing that I think, when I take all of this, like, this is somebody who's like, this is my brain, like, filtering basically. And so like, when I look at lots on Twitter where there's just like 25 cards and you see 15 cards on there that are Jeremy Peña's and they're still sitting there, it's like, people aren't buying them because everybody has a Peña card at this point and they don't want more of them because people don't believe they're going to keep going up. So
yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right. So one thing I wanted to ask you before we get to some audience questions, we got Shoes just dropped a question in the chat. We'll get to it in a second. Thanks, Shoes. My question is like, prospect fatigue. We see guys.
Man, I think that's one of the most important things in our hobby. So keep going.
Okay. Brennan Davis hit two home runs in the futures game during the All-Star break 2 years ago, right? I think it was 2021. He was hot. We all thought he was coming up to the Cubs.
Yeah.
He's still on our list. What is up with that guy?
Man, Brennan is probably one of the prospects I'm most sad about. He had the ability to just come up and just dominate for the Cubs in a Cubs roster that was just depleted. They're not as bad as they were a couple years ago, which I think helps him and also hurts his value. Because like, if he had made the jump after that season and been able to get to the Cubs and been able to be a bright star in a massive market team, and then he would have been one of the most investable pieces in the hobby. I invested pretty heavily in Brennan Davis 2 years ago. It's probably been one of my biggest losses in the hobby, not because he's bad, but because injuries have plagued him so bad.
Okay.
He's had a back injury that just nagging him for so long. And I, at this point, I'm worried that he can even make it.
Isn't
to the
Cubs. 28 now.
Yeah.
That's an exaggeration, but I think he's pretty old.
I'm just worried about him. And so like, I had to move him super far down our rankings just because I believe in him. I think he's a good ball player, but like, he just becomes riskier and riskier right now. But at the same point, if he's able to put that together, there are players that have come into the majors very late into their profiles and just destroyed. Nelson Cruz came up when he was 28 years old, came onto the scene very late. Adolis Garcia, very late. You know, like, we see these happen where guys just bounce around. They don't really have it. They can't put it together. They get healthy and then boom, they're immediately back. So like, Brennan Davis has a market share that's pretty big. I ended up selling all my Brennan Davises in March because people were still buying him, although I lost quite a bit of money. I was able to get some money back because I was just like, I can flip this into a lot of other players and then potentially get back into Brennan before he ends up being what he is, you know. So that's why he fell so deep on our list. But I really feel for the guy.
All right. Good stuff. We got two audience questions we're going to get to in the last few minutes of the show here. One is from Leslie Alegria. Alegria. That means happy in Spanish, I think. I should know that. All right. Leslie's in our Facebook group. If you want to join the Facebook group, go to sportscardstrategy.com. You can find the quick links to all of our stuff. So we're going to get to Leslie's question here in a second. But first, the one, the only, the Oh My Shoes. Just curious, do you or Lefty invest in older cards like 50 tops and or like the T206s? Is that the Honus Wagner? Just seems like these older cards, baseball cards hold value. So Lefty, I know you have a take on this. What do you say to shoes here?
I actually just bought my first vintage lot, like earlier this month, and it was a bunch of 60s cards, and a couple of 50s cards, and I'm excited about them, and I think they are investable. So don't say like, this is where me and Paul just have to stick to our strengths, basically. Like, there is probably a show that you could make just like this one with a top 50 list of vintage as well. Like, it's just, I have to focus somewhere. Like, I have to, like, narrow somehow, and vintage is just what I've chosen to not focus on as much. There, obviously, those 206s and the 50s tops are incredible investments. It's just not something that I'm into yet. I have more fun prospecting than I do looking at cards. I have a 60 mantle, and I have like some Nolan Ryan rookies and stuff. Like, I have vintage cards. That's like, Nolan Ryan's one of my favorites, you know? And so it's like, I mean, there's even like a little picture sitting on my desk right here of him, but it's just not something that I'm willing to put in the time to really understand it at the in-depth level I do in the prospecting world.
Yeah, that's a good question, though, Shoes. One of these days, we'll do a premium members-only article that just absolutely goes in-depth into the vintage for all sports.
I think it would be really valuable for us to bring on a guy that could talk vintage really, really well. You know.
So yeah, absolutely. If anyone out there,
we interview. Yeah.
Email me at paul@nooffseason.com. If any of you have any suggestions for that or want to come on yourself and talk about vintage, we'd love to have you on. All right, let's get over to Leslie's question from the Facebook group. So Leslie Alegria, what about Randy Arozarena?
Yeah.
Mark, long-term question.
That's Shoes' wife. I'll just be honest. I forgot to put Arozarena on this list. He deserves to be up here. So before we publish this, Randy Arozarena will be on this list. He's a guy with a huge market, does fall into the prospect fatigue a little bit. Like, he had super, super high values a couple years ago, but definitely deserves to be on this list. Thank you for bringing that up, Alegria.
Very nice. Okay. Not sure if that is Shoes' wife or not. Shoes says, that's my wife. Very cool. Love the family aspect.
Especially after the WBC. Like, he's got a lot of fans right now, and he falls into the same Wander Franco-ness of, like, the Rays are going to be really good.
Love it. All right, Lefty. Oh, Shoes, confirming. It is 100% his wife. Love the family aspect of nooffseason.com baseball card strategy show here. You are all our family, and Shoes has gotten his entire family involved. We're sending shirts to the Shoes family. And
that's goals.
Yeah, like my wife.
Let's go, Evan.
This venture has even started bringing in income for my family.
Yeah.
And my wife still will not get involved and ask a question.
My wife loves it when I get packages in the mail because she's like, how much can you sell this one for?
Yeah.
Evan, that's a sweet Virginia Tech hoodie in your profile picture. That's all I'm saying.
Love it. I love all of you people. You guys are the best. You guys and girls, ladies, gentlemen, everyone out there, they, them, he, she. Love all of you. Thanks so much for all of your support. This show, this network, would not be what it is without all of you. And we want to keep making it better. So hit me up, paul@nooffseason.com, @nooffseasoncard on Twitter, @sportscardstrategy on Instagram, @leftymckee on Twitter, @leftymckee on Instagram. Just breaks. Lefty, promote yourself here in the last few minutes of the show.
Yeah, man. I love doing this. And this is something that is not my full-time job. You know, like, this is something that I just do because I love. And so I'm very thankful to have you guys messaging me and stuff. I get back to you as fast as I can. And this is something that I really, really am proud of. This rankings, I think, is something. It's one of my first couple of attempts at making a top 100 investment list in terms of baseball. And so I think the more I get into it, the better we'll get. But yeah, please go to @just_breaks on Twitter. Give us a follow. We just moved from wild cards box breaks to Just Breaks. We went underneath the Just Baseball brand officially, which I'm super, super excited about. Our first break was last week. A little bit of technical difficulties with the new platform, but it was super fun. We broke a jumbo of 22 draft, 21 draft, and 20 draft. There were some absolutely killer people in all of those draft classes, and so we were able to break a jumbo of all three of those. 9 autos came out. Had some fun with it. We like to do some cool stuff, and we're about to go deep. Matt, I say, somebody reached out to me after the show on Monday, and they said, did you realize you said balls deep? And I said,
you did?
Yes, I did. I did say balls deep. And I was like, I did realize that, because I think that saying is hilarious. So we at Just Breaks, we are going to go balls deep on 2023 draft, or 2023 Bowman baseball. So
Lefty,
get in while you can.
Amazing job. I texted Lefty before the show and I said, I have 57 minutes today for this show. It is literally our 57th minute of the show. Great job today. Thanks, everybody, again. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. He's Kendall McKee with Just Breaks, nooffseason.com. Everybody, don't forget to email me at paul@nooffseason.com. There's still time to get into tomorrow's sports card strategy show and tell. Thanks to Graybo's Sports Cards in Richmond, Virginia. Check them out on Instagram @graybo's_cards, @graybo's.co. They got some good stuff online as well. Thanks so much. Let's cue that rock music, huh?
Cue it, baby.